IPA April has come to an end, so this week we're drinking IPAs that are interesting.
Let's crack it.
This beer's ginormous.
Yeah, I think this is gonna creep up on me.
Blah, 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 I want my beer, damn it!
Beer Coaster Podcast, it's for your learning.
Let me get back over here. There you go, Dave. You're on.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast, and every once in a while in between. I'm your host this week. My name is Crazy Dave, and as always, but mostly, well, not always, but mostly, yes, we got
Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada,
and Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
All right, and well, we took a week off last week because it was Mike's birthday, but we are still continuing with our theme of the IPAPRIL kind of thing. This week, we are moving on to white IPAs, and the fermentation conversation for this week is going to be the Deschutes Chainbreaker, but Ross can be drinking a couple other beers if you listen to the rest of the podcast and you know, not just the video.
Let's so talk we're not about just drinking. Right, well. We're not just drinking white IPAs. We do have another beer. It was going to be like a white IPA show, but then we ran. You know, we didn't do our show last week, so then we decided to like mix it up this week and do interesting IPAs. So,
oh, whoops, fail.
Yeah, I made the mistake of being born, I guess.
Well, Mike, I guess so the East Coast or week. New England isn't big on white IPAs, so you know.
Yeah, I mean, we have a few, but I thought they had the Sam Adams kind of a little one. Bit more interesting. Yeah, the white water, yeah. Whatever it is. We're probably going to talk a little bit about it on the show as far as all these different types of IPAs. But I'm going to be drinking the Dogfish Head 61, which is an interesting IPA with some interesting adjuncts, which we'll talk about later
hopping.
On the show.
An extra minute. Yeah. A whole extra minute of hopping. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, let's get.
Man, what a difference a man
and
makes.
I'll be drinking the Wasatch Ghost Rider on the show too. So, Ghost Rider. And that's another white IPA. So we actually have
negative
like
Ghost Rider. Your pattern is
three four. White IPAs and then one non-white IPA. Off
like a black IPA, yeah. Red IPA. Yellow IPA.
Oh, so that's what happened? So this was a white IPA show and I didn't get the memo? Is that what happened? Should I go grab my white IPA now?
Well, my IPA actually does have some funky adjuncts to it, so it is kind of a different IPA, but I think it still is a white IPA.
So it's not all white.
It's not all white, but it's all white. It'll be all right. Well, anyhow, I think we ought to get to our chain breaker tonight.
This is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
This is the Deschutes Brewery Chain Breaker White IPA. A little bit about this beer. Deschutes Brewing Company is out of Portland or Bend, Oregon. They've been brewing like forever since 1988. Their website is www.deschutesbrewery.com. As we said, this is a white IPA. ABV is a nice, comfortable low 5.6, and the IBUs come in right in the Crazy Day favorite of about 50.
Oh, there's a Crazy Day favorite of IBUs. There's the...
Yes.
The Beer Coaster Toby, very nice range, and there's the Crazy Dave favorites.
No. Well, it's also the Beer Coaster Toby Perfect 60, yes. I believe.
That's the very nice range, though. The 60 to the 65 choice. Range.
See, I like it a little bit lower. Yeah. Toby likes it.
Yeah.
So,
all right, let's crack it, you wankers.
You wankers!
Oh, I can't put that in my water glass. Damn it.
So I'm using a Widmer Hefeweizen glass for this. So how about
I'm
that?
Using I could. Sam Adams.
I should have grabbed my Hef glass because I have one, but I didn't properly think about it. So I have my trusty Coors Light pint glass. And with it, I've got a good, solid Yeti finger.
Holy
ahead.
Light beer.
But yeah, it is, like Mike said, it is light. It's not fizzy yellow kind of, but it's like, it looks like lemonade.
It's like freaking lemonade. Yeah. Like a
Well, are you getting lemonade? Any of that that sediment that's slowly mixing its way through the glass?
Yeah, it went like a cloud of
It started off, I don't know, super clear. Yeah, like lemonade. And then that sediment started to slowly sink down to the bottom and get mixed up.
I think that's lemon pulp.
Yeah. I got about a solid Yeti finger of white meringue type head.
Yeah. I had about a finger and a half. Yeah, it's just going down about a half now.
Got some particulates floating around in there. Lots of carbonation.
I didn't get much. I don't know if mine was kind of cold and a lot of the sediment stuck to the bottom or what. Looks like might be some sediment there on the bottom.
ABV of 5.6.
Yeah, we talked about that already.
Oh,
you did?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but what we didn't talk about was what in this. The malts are wheat and pilsner and unmalted wheat. The hops are Cascade, Citra, Bravo, Centennial, and it's got Belgian yeast and sweet orange and coriander. So on the nose, it does smell citrusy.
Very lemony.
Like a very bright, citrusy, summery.
And it has like a white pepper kind of a.
Yes. Yeah, there is that nice spice in there.
There's some breadiness and some spiciness. Mm-hmm. But the bread, it's like a really light bread. Breadiness. Yeah. It's like
like a flatbread like tortilla.
Yeah.
Like a lemon.
with some honey. Smells good. I love these, like, especially this time of year when it starts to warm up.
Super, like, yeah, this is like, all right, you know, spring is here kind of
that
aroma
fresh,
to
wonderful
it, you know?
Smell.
Some clove in there.
That, like,
not quite fresh
Irish
laundry.
Spring, you know, wake you up in the morning kind of
What's
smell.
The little whistle that they have for that, though?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't whistle right now for some reason, but of course, because I'm on camera, I can't whistle.
All right, guys. Can we take a sip?
Well, it's time to take a sip.
Cheers.
I just did. Sorry. Cheers.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Oh, damn Belgian beers.
They're not. It's not really Belgian.
Nope. It's weird though. It has this powdery, floury kind of taste on the tongue, like most.
And it kind of bugs me that they're calling it a Belgian IPA because it's really like Beer Advocate calls it that, but it's not really that.
It has a funkiness to it.
No, because of the wheat in there and everything, and that. Well, we will talk about this in our Hop Topics, which will be available on our audio podcast for this week, episode 204. Right.
But going back to the taste of this and the mouthfeel, are you guys getting that powdery sensation on your tongues as well?
It's so funny because I've...
Yeah, it does have kind of a weird... I don't know how to describe it. Almost like if you had... you know, the pulp of an orange on your tongue.
It's more powdery than that, though.
It gives you that big airy mouthfeel, almost like a not really cotton candy because it's not super sticky, but it has that like really airy, almost meringue type.
Yeah, it's like a very kind of tight kind of carbonation on the tongue.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, and don't drink this beer if you like bit the side of your cheek or your tongue, because it it's got to help that citrus. That there's like some level of acidity here that really just zinging it. I was eating it's lunch like a, today and I like bit a, the side of like my a, mouth.
Like an intense kind of lemon zestiness.
Yeah, it has a really good sharp lemon zest, and then there's a little bit of that pepperiness is in there.
Did they use any other kind of herbs or spices or anything? Like, do they use coriander or anything?
It said that they had coriander, yeah. Hmm. Food pairings.
Because now that it's a bit warmer, I'm getting some of that.
You know what this is a weird pairing, but I just, for some reason, it just seems like it would work. I like tortilla chips.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or even like some nachos or something.
Yeah, I mean, totally.
Carne asada fries.
Well, you're getting a little heavy there, but I think like some, like, because, you know, if you take some tortilla chips, you squirt some lime on it or something.
Yeah.
Salt.
Real salty.
This goes with that. Totally goes with that.
Yeah, I see something salty.
Some salsa.
Yeah.
Dude, chips and salsa, man. And this beer works.
Yeah. Or even like a really salty, this, like, sausage or like dried salami or something like that, maybe.
I'm thinking I'd like to have like I'd have this first beer and order appetizer. I'd get like a calamari, I think.
Yeah,
this,
totally. You know, I think you hit it right there, Mike. It's a total appetizer drink. I mean, like, it's kind of cool. This is definitely your first course pairing. You know,
yeah. It's something. But to me, it just reminds me of being, you know, like having some good like fresh seafood.
Yeah.
And
oh, I was even thinking ceviche would be a good pairing for it too.
Yeah ceviche, like too. Totally. Yeah. With some tortilla chips, like.
Yeah. Totally. It totally works. Those all go.
You gotta keep throwing those tortilla chips in there.
Well, see, I just tapped a keg of this the other day. I have it at home right now, actually. So I will be comparing the bottle that I just cracked with my on tap chain breaker.
That'll be interesting.
So maybe that's what I should do. Maybe I should make some. Maybe I should make some ceviche for the BBQ.
Yeah, bring some ceviche out this weekend. We'll pair it with this. I think it'll go fantastic.
cool. Untapped ratings. It looks like out of 9,394 ratings, Untapped rates this at 3.59.
Oh, Beer Advocate users rate this an 83, which is good. And the Bros have tried this one, and they rate it an 84, which is also good.
Should we talk about the white IPA now, or do you want to save that for our hop topic?
I think we'll save it. We don't want to.
Because Untappd calls this a Belgian IPA, and
yeah,
what does Beer Advocate call it?
I don't particularly believe that.
Belgian IPA.
What does Untappd call it?
Belgian IPA.
All right, Chainbreaker White IPA.
Subscribe to our channel. Give us a thumbs up. Leave us a comment. Yeah. Tell us how big wankers we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Or that the camera hurts your head or something. Yeah. Which we have no control over this YouTube, this Google Hangout camera. It kind of goes where it wants to go. We're not like editing on the fly here. No. It's just, it is what it is. So we apologize
for any headaches this show might cause
to our listeners.
Camera on Dave. Camera on.
But that's never the same. That's never the same, though, Dave. Me. Like, come when
on.
You say.
Camera on me. Camera on me.
And we see it here. It's different from what is. Goes to the final product.
Really?
Yes, it's different.
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay, cameras should always just be on me. Yes.
And my medicine ball.
Let's wrap this up, guys. We got a whole rest of the show to do, so.
All right.
Let's.
So, that was the Deschutes Train Baker, www.trainbaker.
Train Baker.
www.deschutesbrewery.com.
Yeah. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Clank. Pause, America.
Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada, with happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m. With a wide variety of hard-to-find craft beer on draft and bottle. Special tappings every month. Don't forget to stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft coupon. That's right, Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, Eastside, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler.
Beer drinkers of the world, it's now time to check the headlines of the Beer Coasters Daily.
Are we recording now, Crazy Dave?
Toby, you idiot! How many times do I have to tell you? Yes, we're recording!
Okay.
Hop topics!
Now with more hops.
Yes, it's hop! What grows on vines, what goes in beer, it makes you feel real good when you get drunk.
We should have practiced this.
Oh, yeah. That really called for rehearsal.
It hops. It's bitter, it's green. Stinky. They're good.
It's hops.
They're
not better than malt. They're good.
All right, come on. Let's go. Hop topics. All zip through hop this. Topics. We got beer to drink.
This week's hop topic is talking about all the different types of beers and how style really is not really being style specific anymore. This article comes to you from the Beer Coasters website. If you go to the Beer Coasters website and go to the Toby's Brews paper and the Beer Coasters dailies and all that, and this article came up, and
all that stuff.
And it says beer style categories, particularly IPA, means almost nothing in today's craft beer market. It goes on to say that, you know, kind of compares it to wine, saying that, you know, if you get a Pinot or you get a Chablis or you get, you know, a Cabernet, you know that it's going to be made with, you know, if it's, you know, varietal specific, it's going to be made with 9%.
I knew Dave would like this grapes. Article.
Yeah. But with IPAs, you know, there's so many different kinds of IPAs. There's rye IPAs, there's black IPAs, there's white IPAs, there's double IPAs, there's, you know, IPAs with adjuncts, there's coffee IPA. I mean, there's a million different kinds of IPAs, and they all use the different kinds of hops. I mean, there's millions of different hops and malts and everything, and it just doesn't seem to be like, if you were to pick up a beer, I think some people are now having a hard time identifying, is this an IPA?
Yeah.
Well, like, I think the main reason why we decided to talk about this was because we're doing the white IPA, and it's such a new style, and it's not a whole lot of brewers are doing this. And what is it really? Like, what makes it a white IPA? And basically, it's a Belgian wit with more hops. So I mean, at least that's how the chain breaker is.
Right. And I think a lot of them are like that. Like, you know, we talked about the black IPAs being either like a really rich brown ale or porter with more hops.
Hoppy porter.
And, you know, I'm wondering, to me, it just seems like they're just taking the beer style and they're adding more hops and then trying to change the beer style. And they talk about the BJCP guidelines, and they're just kind of getting more stretched and morphed. And it's like,
right,
you know, turning mutts. It's like, here's all these mutts, but we're trying to make them purebreds. And it's like, no, that's not what they are. It's like, you kind of have to lay it out to where there has to be styles. And then I'm not opposed to having different versions of different things, but to try to say that if I give you a Belgian wit beer with a lot of hops, or if I tell you that this is a white IPA and I use the same grain bill, the same hops, but you know, the same hops, are you going to tell me that I can actually enter my beer in the two different categories because, you know, the BJCP says, hoppy. Okay, well, now we do have, you know, white IPAs and black IPAs and whatnot. Right. To me, it seems, I don't know, it's kind of.
Wasn't that like Sam Adams entering their light beer in the category and they won and there was no light beer category?
Yeah. So then what did they win in? Like, you know, the like Czech Pilsner category or something, like where?
Well, should they have a hoppy Belgian wit category, or should it just be a Belgian wit category?
Then you're going to end up with 1,000 different categories. I mean, right. You know.
And I don't know. I guess maybe I should have more knowledge of some of the history of some of those styles.
Well, I think what it is that, you know, like everyone is trying to go and change what there is that they're doing, and they're pushing boundaries, and, you know, they're trying different things, and, you know, everyone's got to be different and do something to differentiate themselves. Right. But I think in reality, what it is that they're really losing sight of, you know, what the classic styles were.
Right.
And it's going to be a competition, not of styles, but of just of creating different beers, which seems to be a little bit different direction. Like, let's say like wine is done, where I don't know if it's people are just demanding, you know, style specific, you know, varietals of wine, you know, like that they want their Cabernets, they want their Pinots, they want their Chardonnays or whatever.
Imperial Chardonnays, or do they have Chablis?
There are slight differences, like there are things like super Tuscans, or there's like different like well, there's blends of wines. I mean, you can get a little bit different, you know, and that's where they start messing with like, well, do you want more Cabernet versus, because a Bordeaux is typically going to have, you know, Cabernet Merlot and maybe a Cabernet Franc. That's what it was, you know, and they kind of, you know, mess around with those balances a little bit.
So I mean, I wonder.
But you're not seeing like where they're there, you don't see too many craziness like things happening. But then again, you're using actual fruits, different like slight varieties of grapes. Whereas, you know, as beer, you know, there really isn't like a particular, you know, hop bill that defines right. an IPA.
There's not like a Maris Otter category.
Right.
Or like best beer brewed with Maris Otter.
Maris Otters. Maybe there should be. I mean,
it makes me wonder. Like,
maybe that would be the new category. You know, it's but you really don't see too many beers though that are going to be single hop specific. I mean, that's right. I think beers really benefit much by having blends. So
right, but I just wonder if you know, getting into all these crazy. You know, coming up with a new style and all that stuff would be mainly for GABF awards or BJCP stuff, you know, where they go, well, hey, we got to start a new category. We're the only ones in it and we'll win an award, you know, that we can hang at the brewery and say, hey, look, we got a gold at the GABF this year for the white IPA category, even though there was one other guy and, you know, ours was slightly better than his. So maybe that's one of the things, or maybe they're just hey, we got to call this something. I mean, there's nothing else like this. There's no extra hoppy Belgian wits out there. You know, we can't call this a Belgian wit because it's too hoppy to be a Belgian wit. And people who go for a Belgian wit, they'll say, this is no Blue Moon. This ain't Blue Moon. I ain't drinking this. This is too spicy. This is too hoppy. This is too whatever. So I don't know.
So maybe they should just get away from categories and just.
Well, yeah. I'm always a firm believer in I like to know what I'm getting into. When I go to buy an Imperial Stout, I like to see if it's bourbon barrel age. Sometimes that might make me step back from it, or sometimes that might make me.
Right, but you know that you're getting you're getting a stout though. It's not like you're gonna it's gonna pop up with a lager, you know.
Right. When you go for the white IPAs, there's really nothing much out there. I mean, just as the show today's week, you know, the show this week, it's like how many we've been putting this white IPA show off for a long time, mainly because I think Chainbreaker was pretty much the only one for a long time. Then Sam Adams came out with one, and now the one that I have from Wasatch this week and the one from Anchorage, like. These are pretty much the only ones that are categorized as white IPAs, you know. So, and that's I like doing those kind of shows. I mean, it's an excuse for us to come up with a new show and
gives us something else to talk about.
Yeah, just like this, you know, trying different beers and new styles and critiquing them. Well, you know,
maybe what they should do is like with these beers that seem to be off like your particular styles, like your stout, pale ale, IPAs. Porters, whatever, you know, maybe just call it just give it some strange name, you know, like, oh, this is our I don't know, our piss yellow beer or something, you know, like because they do that with wines, like especially when they make these weird blends, you know, that really aren't like a Bordeaux style blend, and they call them like the I had a beer the other night or a wine the other night that was our Daily Red was the name of the wine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's just that's what it was. You know, instead of our Daily Bread, it was our Daily Red. Yeah. It was just a blended red wine. You know, it happened to be light, and it happened to be, you know, kind of fruity and stuff. And it, you know, it wasn't very it was drinkable. You know, and so you know, I thought that name was very appropriate. It was a very drinkable daily kind of red.
That's one of the things I always wondered about when you go to certain restaurants and they have their house red. You know, what is that? Is it
usually some cheap ass wine.
Is it a Chianti? Is it a, you know, is it a Merlot or something?
It could be, you know, if that's just what you want. I mean,
whatever they're calling it.
Yeah. I mean, cause it, you know, in that case, it's just a red, but like in this particular case, it was a blend of who knows what. I didn't spend the time to look at it. It's a long story, but it was funny. Anyhow, I just needed a damn drink, and so I was drinking it.
I don't care. As long as it's red, give it to me. All right, cool.
What do you say we drink some more of this beer that we keep talking about?
All righty.
Sure thing. Mike, you haven't been talking about beer. What are you talking about? You've been sleeping.
All right.
Well, go to beercoasterspodcast.com. Click on the Hot Topics link, and you'll see this 15 things craft beer fans think but nobody says.
And there's a whole bunch of other things. This was just one of the 15. We said some stuff. Yeah, we said a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we said too much stuff. So.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk more drink.
All right.
Gemini Lounge. A chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Toby!
Yeah. Okay.
Toby!
So, we're doing interesting IPAs, and I decided to go with a white IPA also, because I saw this at the store, and I was like, oh, Wasatch has a white IPA. Awesome! So here it is. This is their Ghost Rider, one word, actually. Wasatch Brewing. They're out of Salt Lake City, Utah. They're part of the Utah Brewers Cooperative, I believe, along with Squatters. Wasatch has been brewing since 1986. Yeah, you know Squatters. They do the polygamy porter and like the...
Oh, yeah.
UtahBeers.com is their website. This is a white IPA. Comes in at 6.00% ABV. Couldn't get the IBUs. The malts are super pale, malted barley and wheat.
Super
and the
pale.
Hops are of the citrusy American hop variety.
You're saying a lot of S's. A lot of this going on.
And they use a touch of coriander.
Super citrusy.
I'm going to crack it.
There he goes again.
Producing a little bit ahead.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Producing a little bit of head there. Yeah. I got a fat Yeti finger of head. That's a pretty nice pint right there.
A proper pint.
Well, 12 ounce. So you can see it goes almost to the very top there. It's same color as the, what do we have? The Chainbreaker. So it's yellowish, a little bit of orange in color. It's a very cloudy and chunky. Lots of particulates floating around in this one. Lots of carbonation.
Particulates.
Kind of murky looking. The head is starting to dissipate.
Quite a few particulates.
Lots of big bubbles in the head there, as you would, you know, normally get out of a wheat beer.
What?
On the news. Ooh.
Why are you saying it like that?
Ooh, yeah, lots of lemon and...
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, it's very citrusy.
Fantastic.
Yeah, lemon, grassy, a little bit of like a real bready malt coming through. I'm even picking up on a little bit of bubble gum.
We'll stop scraping underneath the table.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Different.
Tastes like a beer.
Man, is this the same beer that I drink five others from a six pack?
This is what this is Toby's way of saying it tastes like ass.
No, I think it's one of those things you sit down and you have a beer on the show and it's completely different.
Now this one is very a lot less Belgian-y than the Chainbreaker. The Chainbreaker had a lot of that spice and clove and like the white pepper and all that stuff. That's really not coming through in this one. This one tastes more like your average American wheat with a slight kick up of some, a little bit of a spicy hop, a little bit of a,
little bits.
There's like a little bit of pine in there, some floral notes, lemony. Wow. Yeah. It's a lot more lemony. That's kind of it. I mean, there's a little bit of a it's kind of sticky, a little bit on the mouthfeel and the aftertaste. It's a little sweet with, a slight astringent, pininess in the back end, but it's pretty drinkable.
In the back end.
It's not real crisp. It's not like the Chainbreaker where it had that, like, a lot of zing to it. This doesn't really have a whole lot of zing. There is some lemoniness, but it's not. It's more of like a lemon.
It's more witty.
It's not even
like,
well,
a lemon bread.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's a lot softer of a lemon. It's not a zippy, tangy lemon. It's more of like soft a lemon essence kind of thing.
Lemon essence.
You like sauce?
Sounds
soft
like a lemons. Shampoo.
Soft lemon, soft lemon.
Yes, soft lemon, soft lemon. It is.
What would you pair with it?
Oh man, I just got a flashback, and I don't know if I should actually pair with this. But you remember the those lemon cookies with the powdered sugar lemon on the bars? Outside?
Lemon bars.
No, the cookies, the round cookies, and they're real lemony, and they have the powdered sugar on the outside.
Those Girl Scout cookies.
No, they come in a box, kind of like a...
Is it like a butter cookie with like a lemon thing in the middle?
No.
No?
Lemon Coolers! Lemon Cooler is the name of the cookie. They're called Lemon Coolers.
That sounds more like a Jack Daniels kind of a drink, like Downhill Punch or something.
Nabisco makes them. I don't even know if they still make them.
Are you talking about boxed crackers, like cookies?
They come in a box, like Nabisco crackers.
Man, Mike and I are thinking like cookies that like mom might have made,
like
something.
Yeah, like Martha Stewart style.
Yeah.
No,
dude,
I'm
Betty Crocker, and you're talking about going down to
Nabisco.
The...
Yeah.
You're talking about where you smoke a bowl and you decide to go buy some Funyuns and you want some cookies and that's what
it,
you grab.
That's it, man. That's it. Anyway, Gina all is right. disagreeing with me. Yeah, she doesn't think that would be a good pairing. But
fail.
Yeah, I mean the thing about those cookies is they're very lemony and they're very tart, so that might not work with these. But maybe something like a chicken, like a grilled chicken, something would work with this.
With lemon,
like an herby grilled chicken salad,
or like a seared ahi salad.
Sure,
this
might work with actually some
chicken.
Sushi.
All right, you know what? All right. I want to drink a beer.
We got to check some Untappd ratings here.
Actually, I think that the Chainbreaker would go better with sushi than this, because the Chainbreaker had more of a zip to it than this does.
Chainbreaker goes really... Well, I mean, certain kinds of sushi are going to be better with, like, lemon. You know, like halibut would definitely go much better with lemon than, say, like...
tuna or something?
Yeah, like tuna. Or even, I mean, I know a lot of people put lemon on salmon, but, like, if you've got a really rich, fatty... Oh, no, the acidity, that would be nice, too. Like tuna or toro, I don't think would do really good with lemon. But, you know, like halibut, like, really good. You know, octopus, really good, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, Untappd for Ghost Rider comes in at 3.64 out of 655 ratings.
And the Beer Advocate users rate this an 84, which is good. And The bros have not tried this beer.
Well, folks, there you have it. That is the Ghost Rider White IPA from Wasatch.
Wasatch!
Out of Salt Lake City, Utah. Check out their website, utahbeers.com. We'll be back right after this, America.
And I'm up next.
You know, drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd invite you to join us at any number of our internet social websites. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Untappd, Google+, and even Pinterest. That's right. Cheers.
we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
All right, all right,
Mike,
all right.
Action!
It's my action, turn. Mike. I feel like I haven't done this in so long. This is crazy,
action,
man.
Mike.
Dude, it's been like a week. 2 weeks for you.
Over a week, yeah.
So
I'm sure he's had plenty of beer, though.
Yes.
I'm hoping you were getting tore up. Yeah, we were checking your Untappd when you were gone last week, and you were definitely out drinking.
Yeah, it's not with us.
Sorry.
What a dick.
So I'm going to try Dogfish Head's 61. That's right. Not 60.
I don't care if it was your birthday.
Neither did anybody else.
Hey, I podcasted on my birthday. Remember?
That's right.
Yeah. I podcasted on my birthday before, too, you know. And that really, well, anyway.
Yeah, you had three other chances.
So the brewery that makes this beer, in case anybody was wondering, is Dogfish Head out of Milton, Delaware. And their website is www.dogfish.com. The style.
Don't they have breweries in other states now? Don't they have, aren't they expanding or no?
No, they might be expanding, but I don't know if they're going out of state right
now. It's still Delaware?
They might contract from other states, but I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's
I'm just thinking like, you know, Sierra Nevada, and now I think Lagunitas or somebody is like putting breweries in other states, and I thought Dogfish Head was one of them, but whatever. Never mind.
Right. Well, this style is an IPA. The ABV on this beer is 6%, and the IBUs are a Beer Coaster Toby Perfect 60.
The malt. Well, it also fits in with Mike's whole like 6% ABV, 60 IBUs. That whole like
that formula.
6-6. So what's the other six, man? There's got to be another six.
Mike is satanic.
The malts is two row pale, some amber malts for hops. They use Warrior, Simcoe, Palisades.
So I wonder if I like the 5150, like 5.1% alcohol and 50 IBUs.
Cool name for a beer.
For the, for those of you that don't live in California, there's a health and safety code 5150, which happens to define what it is a person to be insane. So, anyhow.
It's also an album by Van Halen. Or is that Van Hagar?
Van Hagar.
They dry hop with Amarillo and Simcoe and Glacier. And I could be wrong on this stuff, but nobody's going to tell me that I'm wrong. So, anyway, the adjuncts, which I thought were...
Mike's
were,
just blown shit out of his ass.
Just... thinking of hops and stuff and just
out of his ass.
Just throwing hops out there. For adjuncts, this one's a little interesting. They actually, during the fermentation, they add Syrah grape must, which I thought was pretty interesting. So I'm going to crack it.
The must of a Syrah grape?
Yep.
Actually, the 5150 health and safety code is actually an involuntary psychiatric hold.
Oh, I thought that was a car model. I thought that was like the Honda 5150 or something.
No, it's like the 1500 that you were thinking of, the CVCC 1500.
Oh, who does the 510? Is that
That's a Datsun 510.
Datsun, yeah.
I remember the Datsun. I learned how to drive in a Datsun.
Big shout out to my friend.
Was the first car I learned to drive in.
Yeah. Well, shout out to our friends Kenneth and John Thawley. They're both 510 kind of guys. So if they listen or are listening,
sweet. I didn't know there were actually 5'10 kind of guys.
Yeah.
Now I know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
There's also 5150 kind of guys.
So my beer's purple.
What?
Yeah, it's got a it's kind of glowing red hue.
Well, they
end
up in the grape must. That means that it's got the grape materials in it. So it should have that color.
It's red. For sure. And it actually has a very, like, super pale lavender head.
Wow. So it's a Syrah IPA.
Yes, I guess.
Oh, there's another.
It's going to be a new category. BJCP, look out.
GABF this year. Jeez. And the winner for the Syrah IPA category
is Dogfish Head
61.
And then next year, it'll flood. There'll be like 60 different. Syrah IPAs.
We'll see how well this one goes.
All right. So.
Oh, for those of you that don't know.
It's pretty.
No, grape must is what they, is like after the first step for making wine, they crush the grapes. And that's what they have, basically, is just smashed up grapes.
Chunks of grapes.
Yeah.
There's some hops in there and some honey. But there's some grapiness in there. There's definitely a
grapiness.
There's some
you like it the grapey grapes.
You can smell the grapes in here. Some citrusy hops in there. Yeah. Speaking of which, how come the beer isn't 6.1% ABV and 61 IBUs?
61 IBUs.
Well, what makes it 61? Why do they call it 61? Do you
know?
I
don't know. It's kind of silly, actually, a dumb name because they should have. Should have called it something else because it's basically the base is the Dogfish Head 60. It's the same beer except they add the Syrah grape must during the fermentation process. So it's the exact same beer except they, you know, they add that in there. So will there be a 62, a 63? I doubt it. Who knows? It just seems kind of an odd name for this. And there could be something more clever to it if we could probably check in it with Dogfish Head and see if Sam says something clever about it. Sam Calagione was
probably on vacay somewhere, and the new intern was like, let's just call it 61.
Yeah.
He was like, he comes back from some far-off land.
It's got
trying some really weird teas and herbs, and like, well, who called it the 61?
There is kind of, you know, there's a grape skin, but there's something kind of sugary. There's like a syrupy smell to it.
So do you get any, like, because I know Syrah's kind of got like a pretty tanniny kind of a full-bodied kind of flavor to it. I mean, you getting that?
I haven't taken a sip yet, but it's almost like you could almost kind of smell like a tea kind of bittery, but there's something sweet in there too. I have to take a sip because this nose is kind of getting a little too crazy for me.
Taking a sip, yeah.
6-4 Impalas.
All right. There's some hops in the front.
And a party in the back.
Oh, some
mustiness.
A diamond in the back.
I wouldn't think that this is an IPA. Hops kind of, I mean, they are up front, but it's not like,
if you got hops up front, that just kind of screams IPA.
Well, no, because it's all in the middle is all that kind of, there's the grape in there. There's some mustiness in there. There's some like a honey kind of maltiness in there. Oddly enough, I had this I gave a glass of this to Renee, and she loves the beer. And
Renee don't like
and
beer.
She doesn't like IPAs at all. Anything that's hoppy, she just, I mean, she's like,
anything
no,
that's
I
not
don't
like
want
Bud
it.
Light, she doesn't like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she's not usually a fan. Every once in a while, I'll get her, like, she likes the Framboise. She's liked a few Saisons. So I think if something kind of has like a fruitiness or a citrusy quality, if it's enough, she usually kind of takes to it. This one she really liked, which I was actually surprised because it's not usually, you know, the style that she would likes, you know, that she normally likes with the hops in here, you know.
Dave, were you just eating out of like a magic lamp or something?
Eating, Gerber baby food.
No, it's like
some
a little
glass slipper.
No, it's like a little glass dish. Like, you
no,
know, like
that was not what you were just eating out of.
Yes, it was, dude. Like,
oh, you mean this?
No, it has Saran wrap, like kind of. Like,
oh, Saran wrap was sticking out of the side. It looked like it had like this swan neck that was coming out of the side. I'm like, what is he eating out of?
Dude, I got some high quality glassware, man. Except for when I'm drinking on the Beer Coasters podcast.
This is kind of an interesting take on an IPA with the adjunct, because this adjunct, you know, the using the Syrah grape must really makes, I mean, to me, it changes the style of the beer altogether. Like, I would not guess that this was, you know, the 60 minute, you know? Man, if I'm going to try to pair this with something, I think actually a teriyaki dish would be good with this.
You don't think the sweetness would conflict with the sweetness of the teriyaki?
Well, then maybe not go the teriyaki, but definitely soy, like a...
Some sort of soy base?
Yeah, definitely. Because I'm thinking like soy sauce and ginger or something would be... A good play on the palate, going back and forth here.
Man, Mike, you always get the beers that I should get. I want to try this now.
Well, I mean, you should be able to find it, right?
I think I should be able to.
It's just called Dogfish Head 61. Looks just like this here. There's 61.
It's 61 spelled out.
Yeah, 61 spelled out.
I'm looking up Beer Advocate, and I want to make sure that I spell it right.
Yeah. The right one. Well, speaking of beer ratings, Untappd rates this at a 3.55 out of 3,226 ratings.
Oh.
Yeah.
Beer Advocate has it at an 81, which is good. They don't have a official label yet. And the Brothers Ahlstrom weighed in on this one, and they give it a 90, which is exceptional.
Damn.
And they call it American IPA.
You know, what's funny is a couple of the two of the top five spots to drink this are actually in Nevada. One is in 775 Gastropub. The other is Corey's Fine Wine and Spirits.
Oh, sweet.
So.
Corey's is cool. Yeah, if you're ever in Vegas, shout out to Corey's. If you're ever in Vegas and you're in the south part of the valley, Corey's Fine Wine and Spirits is an awesome spot. They have beer on tap there and good beer selection and really friendly staff. So this week's
I did want to mention too,
edition that, of that, Beer that, Coaster that, Mike's Tasting Flight is brought to you by Corey's Fine Wine and Beer.
Whatever. Spirits,
yeah.
I did want to mention that the 61 was actually one of those things that was only available at the pub there in, what is it? Is it Rehoboth? No, that's Maryland.
Rehoboth Beach, yeah.
I'm thinking Delaware. Where's the other facility? Because there's two places in Delaware, right? There's Milton and then...
Yeah, I think you're right. Rehoboth Beach or something like that.
Maybe it's like I don't their know anywhere that right? like their yeah. little R&D pub there that they have they actually had a test batch of this, and that was kind of the only place to get it for a while, and then I'm not quite sure why they decided to bottle it, but I just saw a 4-pack of it just recently, and I picked it up. So
is that another $10 4-pack?
Yeah, it probably was. Yeah, it was probably about that $9 or $10 cool. I think for the 4-pack. Looks like it was created here in January of 2013 on Untappd. So I'm assuming that it came out, you know, right around that time. When the test batch showed up, I'm not really sure, because I actually have that as an option here on Untappd as well, as the test batch version. So.
Right.
So yeah, get a chance, check it out. It's very interesting. It's not your average IPA. It's not even... I don't know. We'll talk more about that, I guess. Or I'll talk more about that in last call.
Sweet.
Cool. Check it out.
All right. We ran out of time, buddy. We're cutting you off.
My turn.
Yeah, sorry.
My turn is right. My turn.
Dave's turn.
15 minutes. All right.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Beer Coasters podcast. And don't forget to support your local brewery, your local beer pubs, your local beer bars, and your local home brewers, etc. Drink local, because local's fresh. Oh!
Well, listen up, baby! It's time for Crazy Dave to drink some beer! Watch out now, baby bubba!
Alright, everybody! Yeah, it's time for me to drink some beer. I'm Crazy Dave from Temecula, California. And this week I am drinking the Galaxy White IPA, which unfortunately for me is bottled with Brett. This is from the Anchorage Brewing Company out of Anchorage, Alaska.
I still don't understand why you don't like that stuff.
Yeah. I just don't. It's funky.
That's the whole point.
I know. They've been brewing for a while, though. Their website's www.anchoragebrewingcompany.com. This is a white IPA, and it's got ABVs of 7 and a Crazy Dave Perfect IBU of 50.
Whoa, there you go.
So maybe I'll like this.
Looking up.
A couple little notes on this beer. It's made with Galaxy hops, and some of the adjuncts on it are funky. It's got fresh kumquats, Indian coriander, and blacked peppercorns. So this is a big ass bottle, and it's caged and corked. So I'll go ahead and open this up and see what I got.
If anybody wants to check it out, I actually tried this on our Strange Brew episode.
Strange Brew.
Just hearing those ingredients is not a surprise why we would have it on the Strange Brew episode.
Whoa, lots of head. Like, wow, god damn it. I got a whole glass of
head. Dude, that is an entire glass of head.
Wow. I might need another glass.
White IPA.
Yeah, now we know why they call them white IPAs.
Yeah, well, let me read the bottle here while this is settling down. This is going to take at least another 10 minutes. Ale brewed Galaxy hop, coriander, kumquats, and peppercorns fermented and aged in French oak. Lord, this with a wit yeast. Dry hop with Galaxy hops. Bottle conditions with Brettanomyces and wine yeast. Drink fresh or aged to bring out the funk.
You know what?
So do you drink fresh to bring out the funk, or do you age to bring out the funk?
Does it say drink fresh or age to bring out the funk?
Right.
So you want to age it if you want to bring out the funk.
So why don't they just say, because it's not really clear.
Right now, you're not fresh or age. You're not bringing out the funk if it's fresh.
Right.
You're bringing out some baby funk.
But that's not to say that it can't be funky fresh.
That's true.
Well, it's definitely bottle conditioned. Like I said, this head was ridiculous.
I wonder if.
I mean, I've had like homebrew first time bottles that have had less head than this.
I wonder if when I had this before, I actually said Crazy Dave might like this. I have to go back and listen. So we'll see. We'll see how this goes. He's going to hate it. I know he is.
Well, I literally now have one Yeti finger of beer and a Yeti arm of...
I have a Yeti finger
of beer. I seriously think you need a different glass.
Oh, yes. You need a Belgian tulip glass. You're drinking the wrong glass.
Even as I poured it out, though, like it was just all head.
Yeah.
It's a real frothy, like monster bubble head too. Well, the little bit of beer that I can see, I see some stuff floating around there. It is pretty it's opaque. It's a light, like a, I'd really hate to say it, but this really looks like piss. It really does with the amount of head and with the color. It's got like it's yellow with a little bit of a golden tinge to it.
It's like piss.
I mean, it's not quite as dark as your first morning piss.
Oh, yeah, it's not as dark as the first morning.
Oh, okay.
But it's after a few beers and a few glasses of water kind of piss.
No, because that's more clear. This isn't quite that clear. This is like maybe, like if you were to have like a second piss, I think. This is your perfect test sample color.
My perfect piss sample color is very dark and it smells like asparagus. That's my perfect piss sample right there.
On the nose, I'm getting like just massive amounts of pineapple.
That's my hint to people that are going to go do a drug test and they have to urinate into a cup. Make sure you eat lots of asparagus before you go pee in the cup. It'll be fun.
Toby's had two beers for sure. So on the nose, like I said, I'm getting plenty of pineapple. No asparagus. It's really got this sugary sweetness. You know what else it smells like? It almost smells like a cocktail, like a Mai Tai or something.
Wow.
I mean, it's really, really like, it's got a lot of sweet, fruity,
boozy?
Kind of not boozy, just it's got a lot of sweetness to it. Like seriously, like guava.
Wow.
Yeah, like guava pineapple is just like majorly up front with this. So,
ooh, Dave might.
I want to take
like
a sip,
this.
But I still have a good Yeti wrist of head.
A Yeti wrist. That's a new one.
Yeti wrist.
A Yeti ankle.
I mean, it's probably the width of a Yeti penis.
Probably. I think you're right, Dave. Oh, wait, hold
tuna
that up again.
Can.
Let me look.
I pretty much got the tuna can.
Yeah, the width of a Yeti penis. I think you're right.
Wow.
Adult male. Well, I guess it's a little obvious if it's a male, but...
Well, I'm going to try to see if I can take a sip through all this head here.
Oh, man.
I try, you know, sometimes I try to one-up Dave, and I can't do it. I can't one-up Dave. I just can't. I don't even know why I continue to try.
Why you try? Why you try?
I don't know. I don't know. Taking a
sip, yeah! There really isn't much funk with this.
Come on, get the funk horns. Oh, he took a sip. He took a sip.
Took a sip?
8 minutes. I'm right where Mike is, right at 8 minutes.
He took a sip. Yeah, but we weren't talking about gin and juice and 64 Impalas and stuff.
This is actually pretty. I mean, it's a lot of that fruitiness disappears when you drink this. It's got a zing to it. That's you know, kind of like we talked about before, like kind of lemony zing. It's definitely got some floaties in it. I mean, you can tell that it's like a unfiltered bottle condition style.
Is it tart at all?
Yeah, there's tartness to it. It's not super zingy, but it's definitely got like some kind of acidic kind of taste to it. I'm not getting that funk at all, though. Like, I was expecting, like, you know, Belgian, bready, just nasty kind of funky whatever, but it really isn't there. It is pretty drinkable. It's not overly hoppy at all. It's not bready, on the other hand, either. I mean, it's got a... Well, on the burp, it's got some breadiness, but...
I wonder if they should have categorized this as a wild IPA instead of a white IPA. Because they didn't really mention any kind of wheat or Belgian...
Ooh, that's weird. I just got another strange flavor, like a...
On the burp?
Yeah, it was like a...
on the burp?
It was a woody flavor, like a burp... Like, I don't know, maybe that was from the French oak, you know, wine tanks or something. Yeah. But yeah, I just totally got some oakiness on it.
It is definitely an interesting beer.
You know, I wouldn't say that I really hate this like you were thinking, Toby, but it's definitely different. Food pairings with this is strange. It's got, like, you know what it has a lot of is that those weird vegetable kind of like bell peppery kind of strengths to it. So, I would think something like fajitas would be maybe something this would probably go good with.
Mm. Stir fry?
Like stir fry. Something like that. Something with meat and veggies. But definitely not broccoli and steak. But, you know, I like chicken fajitas. I think that would probably go pretty good with this. I mean, it's kind of weird to think that these wheat beers would be, you know, like more of a Mexican theme, like this tortilla chips and ceviche and fajitas or whatever, but it just seems to me what I would want to drink in when I'm eating those foods, or eating those foods with what I'm drinking.
Yeah.
Or even some grilled veggies might work too. All right. Untappd has 2,614 ratings. They came in at 3.75.
Not bad. Advocate. Beer.
Well, on the burp, man, the burp really brings out that woody character, that oaky character.
Huh. Beer Advocate users rate this a 90, which is exceptional, and the brothers Ahlstrom have not tried this beer.
Number one place to drink this, Tenaya Creek Brewery.
Wow, in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Wow, that's crazy. I wonder when they had this on tap. That's crazy.
And number two place is Brewdog Aberdeen out of Aberdeenshire.
Aberdeenshire. Sweet.
Everybody sure?
Yeah, so that's the Anchorage Brewing Company's Galaxy Bottled with Brett White IPA.
Drunk Hulk says,
studies say drinking alcohol enhance problem solve skill. When Drunk Hulk finish this beer, Drunk Hulk fix you broken heart.
Tweet of the week, yeah!
Time for some backwash. Let's check the beer coaster's email and hotline.
All right, everybody, this is our backwash section. This is where you folks write in, Facebook us, tweet us, Drunk Nihilus
YouTube
or whatever. Somehow, dude, yeah, we need some people to YouTube us.
So people comment.
Oh, we got some
YouTube. Comment on YouTube. That's our new. That's a.
Well, no.
The comments on YouTube opens up a whole new listener base and a whole new backwash. We should probably one of these days, if we get enough YouTube backwash, we should have our own YouTube backwash segment.
Yeah,
because it's basically the only negative backwash we'll probably get is YouTube watchers/listeners.
Well, anyhow, we did get an email. This was an email, right?
Yeah, the first part is an email.
Yes.
Okay, so we got an email
From
oh, that's Tony Leone. What's happening? A blogger friend of his, Hipster Brufus, just posted a great perspective on two topics that he get a kick out of: premium quote unquote beers and frosted glasses. It's a great read if you have a few minutes. So I won't bore you with the thing, but there will be a link on our website for it.
It's not boring.
But basically, they just hipsterbrufus.com/2013/04/state-of-brunion-address.html.
We'll post it on our website.
Did anybody get that?
Type it in now.
Remind.
No, but they just talked about they have some. It's funny. They have some funny shots of these frosty beer mugs that are just coated in ice, and some local beer favorites such as Molson, Amstel Light, Sam Adams Seasonal, or craft specialty beers such as Blue Moon and Smirnoff Ice and Shock Top and wonderful other craft
beers.
Imported, the very rare imported Sam Adams Lager. Yeah, that's stuff like that on menus. It's just
or
ridiculous.
Red Stripe is an import too.
Yeah.
Falstas. What were you? Falstas.
You know, one thing I do like about Foster's though, man, is it comes in this big ass oil can, and at Dick's Last Resort, they bring it to you in a bucket of ice, so just it stays nice and cool.
Yeah, one beer in a bucket.
Of ice. That's like a 20 ounce, 30 ounce can or something or whatever, big ass can.
Mike, what
I wanted to mention, because Crazy Dave mentioned that one shot actually of the local beer favorites. And it had Amstel Light, Molson, and Sam Adams Labatt's. I actually went to a restaurant. We were kind of in the middle of the desert somewhere, close to where Renee's from, in the Inland Empire. And
eat bitches.
I had made a point to ask the waitress, because it said actually specifically in the menu, it said, ask waitress for local favorites, local beer favorites. So I asked her, and she kind of looked at me and kind of cocked her head a little bit, kind of like a confused puppy.
I like when girls cock their heads like that,
and then
it just invites,
she says,
the balls to.
Yeah.
And then she says, I don't know, Budweiser? So I had to explain to her that what I meant and what the menu means by local favorites is there any breweries locally? Do you have any beer that's local? And she just didn't get it. She actually got her manager to come over so we could talk about, what they had. And the manager understood, but man, that waitress had no clue what the hell I was talking about. The locals like Budweiser. And it's like, I don't think people even grasp that. Maybe it just needs to be worded differently so people can understand
that's a
it.
Huge...
Did you leave her a tip?
Yeah, we did. I mean, she was a good server. She just didn't know what the hell she was.
That's a huge thing I put on the management and whoever's training their staff. They need to know that menu, just like they need to know what the weekly specials are. Remember,
Mike was eating at Denny's, okay?
No, it wasn't Denny's. No, it was. I will say it was a large chain, but it was not Denny's.
But still, and it's probably a massively. Printed menu that comes from corporate, and it comes in. It says that's why it says ask your server about local favorites because it's massively right. It's produced on a huge thing. So, but still, your manager, whoever trains you, needs to know that menu. You need to know the desserts. You need to know the specials for the week. You need to know the soup of the day. You need to know what beer because people are going to ask. It says right in there. Ask your server.
Oh my God. But then, these other shots, these menus have false information on them. Like here it says craft and specialty beer.
Right.
What the hell? Like this one is actually from Buffalo Wild Wings. Yeah, so I'm throwing
Ice
them under
is a specialty beer. I mean, yes. I give him that. And so is Mike's Hard Lemonade. That's a specialty drink.
It's not a specialty beer, I mean, is it?
Hey, they do have the Widmer Hefeweizen, though.
Okay.
So that qualifies one out of, let's see, what do they got? 10?
I think some people would probably argue about that one.
Actually, may or may not qualify as a craft beer. That's a whole other thing. I don't know. It is annoying because here we are trying to, talk to people and spread the word about craft beer and what's out there. And then you get these restaurant chains that have just bogus information on their menu.
And one of the things I know it's probably, it's probably not that big of a deal to a lot of people. And I know there's a lot of things to know on the menu and it's whatever. But when it says on the menu, like say Sam Adams seasonal. Okay, so you obviously carry Sam Adams year round and you rotate at least one of those taps with a Sam Adams seasonal. What is your seasonal? I mean, I should probably know better because I know what month it is, and I go, it's April, so it should be their spring. It's not their summer, but you never know
if it's
nowadays.
April, it's probably their summer.
It could be the summer.
Oh, it's summertime, so it's got to be their pumpkin beer.
Right,
or their
summertime, so it's the Sam Adams Oktoberfest. So, I ask sometimes, and I go out, and it's these huge chains, and I say, what's your Sam Adams seasonal? Or what, it's the spring. So you're just like, okay, I guess I'll get that, whatever.
And then it's not the spring. It ends up being the summer or something else.
Or it's just the Boston Lager,
Yeah.
He said Sam Adams. Just give him that. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. No, aren't they all the same? I thought the different colors were just for decoration.
Damn it.
Anyway.
Well, anyhow, thanks, Tony, for sending that to us. And
it is a funny article. And I like the way I just like the fact that he, took a couple snapshots of this because I see a lot of it out there myself. And, somebody's got to educate the people about this. If not the people, the restaurant owners, the corporate headquarters, whatever it is.
Get the people what they want.
Because, cool. I mean, what would happen if you were at, like, a nice, say a higher-end restaurant that had, a really nice wine list, but that wine list was all, like, just had loads of false information on it,
Oh, yeah. You'd have some uppity wine people that would be upset, like Crazy Dave.
Oh, Jesus.
What do you mean? Christ. This is Syrah must. This is not...
The hell do you mean you don't have the 2005 Dr. Lucin? I want that with my cheesecake, damn it.
Yeah.
All right. So
we have some more backwash.
Thanks, Tony, for sending that out.
Thanks, Tony.
Shout out to hipsterbrewfist.com.
Yeah, and Tony. We also got some shout outs from YouTube. Some of the folks liked it and didn't. Well, actually, I think one guy liked it and two other guys maybe not so much. But anyhow, Hanging Scallywag. on our Firestone Walker Double Jack tasting from a couple of weeks ago, said the same guy in each frame. F off, wankers. Love the Double Jack, though. Yeah. Michael
Wait. No, I want to address that, because what the f*** does that mean, same guy in each frame? Did he want different guys in different frames?
Yeah, it's very confusing.
Did he want...
Yeah, I don't know to be offended, or I don't know, just like, I don't understand what this person is saying.
I did watch the video, and it does switch back and forth between all of us, so, yeah. You know, and Greg from the OC was on that one too, by the way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Maybe Greg can decipher what same guy in each frame, fuck off wankers.
I mean,
means.
I understand the fuck off wankers. I understand that, but the kid, if it looks like the guy's from California, so... I don't know where the British slang is coming off.
Maybe it was predominantly on me or something. He just doesn't like looking at my ass. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe.
But
same guy.
Maybe that's what it was. It was Crazy Dave and all the frames. It was too many frames of Crazy Dave. And if that's the case, then I totally understand they're hanging scallywag.
Yes.
Well, Michael Figuera says that the camera hurts his head.
Yes, and that's another thing. We have absolutely no control over that hangout camera. It kind of goes where it wants to go.
When it
It'd
wants
be nice
to go.
If we could kind of toggle between, live you know, stream like right you had there. A little control. Yeah, right. And that's just how it rolls. But, there's not much we can do about that.
But Aaron St. Clair loves our show. It's funny and fun to watch. Keep it up. So
great.
You know, regardless of what your comments are, we appreciate them. We take constructive criticism. We'll take off wankers, whatever.
Yeah,
you know.
Absolutely. And we're glad you like the Double Jack. We like it too. And
yeah, we're glad you like the Double Jack because it's pretty tasty. Yeah. Hanging scallywag.
Stuff. Yeah. So, you know, watch our shows, comment on it. That's what kind of makes, the YouTube kind of fun. You know, you get to see what people want to say about it, like, pretty much right away.
Oh, and I did want to say, too, Hanging Scallywag, just because of the name, you know, we got three Dead Men shows that you should check out on our website that you may love.
All
I don't
about
know.
Pirate-type ales.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's full of piratey goodness or badness or scallywagginess, if you
Scallywagginess.
But definitely check them out.
Sweet.
So, you know, don't forget, people, there's lots of ways to get in contact with us. You can now comment on our YouTube. You can send us backwash. You can email us, tweet us.
Tweet, Facebook
us, whatever.
Untap.
Blah, blah, blah. Last call. All
right, everybody. Last call.
So, tonight we were drinking the Deschutes Chainbreaker, and let's start off with Toby and his ratings of spirits.
Break these chains of love.
I am a fan of the Chainbreaker. I was gonna say something about it, about the fact that it doesn't need to be a year-round beer, because this is a year-round offering now from Deschutes. It's one of their more recent year-round offerings. And I think that it's special enough to where it could come out just in the spring or in the summertime as one of their spring or summer seasonals, and it would be that much more special. I don't know. It's easy drinking. It's crisp. It has lots of. The thing about it is it's you can drink. It's a sessional beer, but yet it still has a lot of. Spice and citrus and flavor, so it's not like your typical wheat beer. It's not your typical spring ale. You know, it's got lots more going on, but yet it's still drinkable. And that's probably just coming from me because, you know, my palate's a little different, but whatever. I mean, it's not so much chuggable, because you take a big like couple of chugs of this and you can feel it like in the back of your throat, and like it's spicy, you know, like you get hit in the back of the throat with some peppery coriander kind of spiciness in the back of the throat. So anyway, I am going to go 4.5.
Wow.
I really like this, and for it to be, and it doesn't even need to be one of those groundbreaking new styles that, you know, everybody needs to follow because it's, yes, it's just, I don't know, it's just a good, and something about it says Deschutes to me when I drink it. It kind of has that Deschutes feel about it. I've had enough Deschutes beer to where I drink it and I can kind of tell, like, yes, this is.
It's Deschutey.
Yeah, yes. Kind of like when you drink a Dogfish beer, you can kind of tell that it's a Dogfish beer.
Or Sierra Nevada
or Stone. You can kind of, they have that signature, or Anderson Valley, you know, they have that signature kind of style about them that no matter what they do, it's kind of their own thing. And Deschutes has that, and I can totally pick up on it with Chainbreaker. I really like it. It's one of my new favorites from Deschutes, and it's a great warm weather beer. So 4.5.
All right. What about your
you know, the Wasatch Ghost Rider, it's the number 6 in a 6-pack that I've had in the past, over the past month or so, or 3 weeks, whatever.
How do you know it wasn't like number 2 and you just drank them out of order?
Well, it could be. Actually, I think there might be one more. The Gene is hoarding in the fridge somewhere.
I need to write that one down.
That's all I hear in the background.
So it's not bad. It's totally different from the Chainbreaker. It does not have the spice that the Chainbreaker has. I'm not even sure if the Ghost Rider had any kind of Belgian yeast strain that they used. I'm not even sure, because there wasn't really any. It was more of like a regular American wheat beer with a little bit of a hoppy kick to it. Not so much, but it's not bad at all. I mean, it's nice and sweet. It's very citrusy, lots of lemon and orange, and anyway, it's drinkable. It's actually, if you compare drinkability to the Chainbreaker, you could chug a whole glass of the Ghost Rider, whereas with the Chainbreaker, you could probably go about halfway down before you're like, whoa, that's starting to like hit my back of my throat there, and it's
my lemon, you know, sensor's on overload.
My uvula is getting a little stressed. So I'm going to go, actually, with the Wasatch, I'm going to go with a 3, because I think it's worth checking out, and I do dig the hoppy wheat beers. So there you go, 3 points. Sorry, that was probably way cool longer beans than I should have.
So for me.
Yeah, Mike, go ahead.
The Chainbreaker. Since
Dave didn't introduce you. So
it's okay. Sorry. I'm here every. I'm Mike from Boston.
Glad
to be here this week on the Beer Coaster podcast.
Cool. Well, at least you're not in lockdown.
For my fermentation conversation, for my fermentation conversation beer, the Chainbreaker. I thought this was super drinkable, and I'm actually surprised to hear that Toby thought that his tasting flight was even more chuggable than this Chainbreaker, because I think this is very easy drinking. Actually, probably a little too easy to drink. Super citrusy. This is a good, like, you know, weather starting to get warm. Very refreshing beer. Also a good beer, you know, to start with dinner or appetizers or snacks, you know, whatever. It's just a really good beer. I'm giving it a 4.5 as well. Just because I think it's a really good representation of, I think, to me, it's like an American wit. That's what this there tastes like to me. Like, if I had to categorize it, I would call it an American wit.
There you go. Okay.
Which we know can be pretty clever sometimes. Yeah. So anyway, that's what I'm going to call that.
There you go, Mike. You need to hit up the BJCP right now and say, excuse me, it's an American wit. Thank you.
So what are you gonna rate this?
It's American. I gave it a 4.5.
4.5, okay.
Yeah. For my Tasting Fight beer.
The 61.
Wow. This is just different. You would never guess that this was the 60-minute IPA at all. The grape must added more complexity, and I would say even change the style of the beer completely. I really kind of enjoy this one. I want to give it a 4. I'm sure, like, if I were a judge and I had to judge this beer for what it was, I'd be, like, marking all kinds of things off, you know, that would be wrong about this. But just to taste it and the flavors and the aromas, to me, I mean, it works for me, man. I enjoy it. It's different and interesting, and I would definitely have people try this. Even people that aren't into craft beer, to just say, hey, try this. It's definitely different, you know. And you may or may not like it, but it's different. So there you go. Those are my pint ratings this week. Thank you very much.
You know, for me,
thank you.
For the Deschutes Chainbreaker, it was, you know, really good. And like Mike said, he just nailed it. It's a perfect appetizer kind of a drink. And I think it works great, you know, in a flight of foods or, you know, drinks you're going to have along with dinner. And it's definitely definitely one of the opening acts that comes in and says, hey, you know, hey, I got something good here for you. And something that's kind of light and refreshing. It's not going to destroy your dinner. And,
so if, like, you know, if you're going to have like a big barbecue, you could have like a keg of this, you know, and then people could be sipping on this before the barbecue gets underway, or you're snacking on few things.
I was just going to say, I'm happy to hear you say that, Dave.
No, I mean, it's a good starter kind of thing. And you know, whether or not it's going to stand up to a big hearty panini or whatever, we'll see.
Wow. That's an interesting.
Or is it a panini?
That's an oxymoron. Big hearty panini.
Well, I don't know. What's a panini? It's like one of those grilled bread sandwiches with the, like, with
it's
the
a grilled
little
sandwich.
Say, it's a manly quiche.
I don't know. You put a beef panini or something.
Manly quiche.
What kind of stuff are you going to put in those paninis?
Oh, dude, we got like 3 or 4 different kinds. You can mix and match. Okay. You can do your own. It's going to be awesome. Right. Going to be some.
That's not much for barbecuing, but. But you know,
roasted red peppers.
Yeah, you better be roasting and barbecuing some stuff that goes in those sandwiches.
Yeah. So, but some anyhow, broth, it was
turkey and cheddar with pickles and cheese stuff.
What part
it's
of
gonna
barbecue
be good.
Is turkey?
Like, dude, you'll see. It's gonna be the bomb.
All right, come on. What's up with the? Do we have a rating for the Chainbreaker?
Chainbreaker.
What's your rating for Chainbreaker, Dave?
You know, like Mike said again, this, and Toby said, you know, this is definitely drinkable. You know, it's a just all around good beer. You know, I'm gonna give it a 4. I liked it. It was pretty good. I'm definitely gonna be drinking it again this weekend for sure. So
now, Dave, were you just out of curiosity? Were you thrown off at all by the Belgian yeast strain? Was that anything?
Not really.
That okay? Because I mean, I'm happy to hear that you liked it. Because
I'm getting used to it. I mean, it's still the Belgianiness is still there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, eh.
It's definitely there. You can still pick up on it, the cloviness and the a little bit of Belgianness.
But there's
in
just
there.
Something so I don't know. To me, with this one, I think the wheat just there's something that made this beer taste fresh and bright. And I think like that wheat malt and some of that citrusy. I mean, some of that yeast brings out that citrusiness too. So not just the hops. So,
right.
Especially with the Belgian style wit, you know, it always has kind of a citrusiness too.
Well, moving on to the Galaxy, you know, like I said, right off the bat,
moving
I mean,
this to the Galaxy.
It had a lot going on the nose, and now that I've had a chance to kind of sip on it for a while, and it warmed up a little bit. Some other things are coming out. Like I had the cork here in my hand, and you know, just kind of smelling it and seeing what's happening with it. And the one thing that I got on this that I really didn't
smelling the gark.
Yeah, and the cork just it's got so much of a clove kind of a scent to it. Yeah, it's real clovey. But the other thing that I wasn't really thinking of when I like, because normally when you think of Brett, like you think of like the you know, horse blanket, you know, Band-Aid. Those are like your typical
sour.
Yeah, those are your typical kind of like you know, characteristics wild that you think of.
Yeah.
But one of the other things that I keep getting from this beer is bacon. Bacon, 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 bacon.
Wow.
And I get it now. Like, I get clothes, I get bacon, and it's kind of neat. No, I remember, you know, Toby, I mean, before the show started, Gina's like, you're not going to like this beer. And it's actually a lot better than what I had very low expectations for this. I was thinking, you know, I'll drink it. It's, you know, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I'm probably not going to like it. It's got bread. It's a white IPA. You know, there's just everything against it, you know, being Belgian-y and all that. But, I actually like it. I mean, it's got levels of complexity and you know, all kinds of different flavors and stuff in it, and I actually think it's pretty good.
So you're saying it's got a chance.
It's got a chance.
Nice.
So I'm also going to give this one a 4. I think, wow, there's a lot to cool be appreciated with it. It may not be, you know, a huge favorite of mine, you know, and it may be something I might drink again, maybe not. You know, but it's definitely, you know, I it's definitely worth checking out, you know, for people to try it out and see what it's like. And it's definitely a different IPA, but like I said, there's a lot of good things going for it that I think that really redeems the different styles and the bread and the yeasts and, you know, the beer that it is. So yeah, that's what I got.
Cool, man. It kind of, I'm glad to hear that you liked it, because I mean it's definitely funky, and
I see it's not overly funky though. That's the good part about it. I mean, I've had some other saisons that were just like you know, like just full on funk, you know, and it's just stuff that just, you know, that just screamed manure and you know, just, you know it's like you just walked into a barn or something, you know. It's like, it's just nasty, you know. It's like this, I don't feel like I'm drinking a, you know, I don't feel like drinking, I'm drinking urine that just went through a whole pile of cow shit, you know, and they fermented it and then, you know, threw it in a bottle and let it, you know, age for a while.
That'll work.
But that's what I think that they do, you know, and that's not what this is. So.
Cool. It's good to hear that that's not what that is.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what did that get? I don't even remember now what that got for a rating.
A four,
yeah.
So, shout outs. Definitely want to give a shout out to hipsterbrewfist.com.
Yay.
And Tony Leone for giving us the link. And to our newfound friends on YouTube.
Yeah.
Aaron St. Clair, Casey Jones.
Oh, don't forget, we want to give a shout out to Hanging Scallywag.
Hanging Scallywag, right.
Yeah.
And also Tapton SoCal, also Alan Willis, and Leslie Chamberlain, and the Beer School blog, check them out, and Mark Kolb.
Yeah,
Mark Kolb keeps posting pictures on our Facebook wall.
He's a picture poster
of him drinking beer.
There you go, folks.
We encourage everybody to do that.
Drinking beer. If you're hot and you're a chick, let's take some pictures of you like in bikinis drinking beers and stuff.
All right, I'm not opposed to that.
Or you can show
or
your
if
boobs
you're a dude
something
and you're willing to wear a bikini and take a picture of yourself drinking a beer, tag us. Post it on our wall.
Yeah. Cool. www.beercoasterspodcast.com. Hey, we'll see you guys soon. We're going to have some specials coming up.
Check out our YouTube channel. Subscribe. Yeah.
Hey, be on the lookout. We're going to have some special reports coming in from the BBQ happening this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And
we'll be doing some interesting tastings for next week's show.
A lot of good stuff. So check it out.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Remember, to all you listeners, this is your show. We're just drinking in it.
We're just drinking it.
Cheers.
Cheers.
See you next week. I don't even know what we're doing next week. What are we doing next week?
We'll figure it out.
Is it Star Wars next week? We'll figure it out. Cheers. Oh, yeah. That really called for rehearsal.
Yeah, I made the mistake of being born, I guess.
Anyway. I'll probably cut that whole part out, because it's dumb.
Like, switch to Dave, switch to Dave, switch to Dave, switch to Dave. Camera on Dave, camera on Dave, camera on Dave.
My uvula is getting a little stressed.